Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Positive Radio. Boy, oh boy, we have some of the most amazing guests from around the world that come on to talk about different topics, and I've been so looking forward to my time today with Deborah Thorne. And just so you know, if you're sitting at your website you can or your computer, pop on over to WeDon'tTolerateBullying.com. That's the website that you can find Deborah at. Deborah's a certified mediator. She's an expert in conflict resolution, of course, has a beautiful book out to help us understand bullying. She's also a professional speaker and trainer, and she's been providing conflict resolution services all over, including schools, churches, community organizations, businesses, and she's been doing this for a long time. She's seen lots of situations with bullying, and one of the comments that she made offline was the importance of empathy. So I can't wait to dive into this conversation with Deborah. Welcome to the show, Deborah Thorne.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you on the show today. In fact, my dog Toby and I were on a radio show as guests earlier today talking about the importance of being a buddy, not a bully, and how kindness can really change relationships. And before we dive into this conversation of moving away from blame and into empathy, tell us a little bit more about yourself, Deborah, and the services that you're offering.
Okay, well, I consider myself, I'm Miss D to thousands of kids, that's how they know me, and I work really hard to help young people understand that there is a better way to communicate. We say we teach children to use their words or, you know, instead of their hands or something worse. And so as a result, I have had experience working in some of the toughest schools in the Los Angeles area. We've been successful in turning attitudes at schools about bullying. I believe that it takes a paradigm shift of the adults and the kids in the community to make a difference, and that's what we do at Kids First, which is the parent company that houses We Don't Tolerate Bullying.
Well, I love that you're doing this work. You know, many, many years ago in an early career, I was a correctional officer, and I had the fortunate experience of working with young offenders. And you know, I saw firsthand the importance of helping children and young people be able to talk about their feelings, talk about the situations that are impacting them, instead of having them express what's going on for them in a physical way that can often be detrimental to themselves and other people. And one of the things that really struck me, Deborah, and I wanted to dive into this, is you talked about the importance of moving away from blame, and you see a lot of that in the work that you're doing. Tell us a little more about that.
Okay, just as an aside before we go a little further, this is where I got started, was doing volunteer work at a correctional facility for children. So that connection, like you got my heart when you said that. And understanding that when children find themselves in that position that they get pretty stunted as far as their emotional growth is concerned.
Yes.
And again, you know, a lot of grown-ups, we sit around and we do play a blame game. The parents say it's the school's fault. The schools say it's the parents' fault. Somebody wants to blame the community. And I maintain there is enough blame to go around for everyone, that what we need to be doing is helping our children find another way.
So true. And we do hear that. We hear blame. You know, we see it all around us. And it doesn't solve the problem. It just creates more animosity and emotional drama for people to deal with, doesn't it?
Oh, and not only that, but if you step back and watch, then we will see bullying behavior modeled for the kids in the form of trying to get to a solution, because my solution is better than your solution and I'm bigger and better. It's like, hold up. This is what started the problem in the first place. Let's teach our children that we can use effective listening and effective communication skills to get any message across.
Powerful. And, you know, what a life lesson for children to be learning these effective listening and communication skills, because these are skills they're going to need to be able to thrive in life, be successful in their education and post-education career. One of the elements you talked about as well is, as we move away from this blame, and you said there's a lot of blame to go around, and you thought it was so important for us to focus on empathy. Tell the listeners a little bit more about what empathy is and why this is so important and different from sympathy.
Well, what I discovered in working with young people, and I always often tease and say I love unlovable children for a living. And someone said, what makes a kid unlovable? I said, ooh, let me count the ways, you know. Mm. When kids are picking on each other, and when they're harming each other, when they're being rude and physical with adults, that makes you kind of want to not love that child. But, you know, we've been really successful in reaching these kids. And in doing so, I got an opportunity to see that even the worst behaved children, the children who, you know, fight at any drop of a hat or members of gangs or whatever, have sympathy for people they consider less fortunate than them. So our children with severe emotional, mm-hmm. with severe physical handicaps that they can see, or injured animals, or, you know, babies, they can rally for them, they fight for them without any problem. Where our children struggle is basic empathy, understanding that you and I are peers, and when you hurt, I can hurt, okay? Yeah. That when I hit you, it does hurt, because the standard answer is, but you hit them. I didn't hit them that hard.
Right.
It's like,
I hear that
all the time. Exactly. It's not how hard you hit them. It's that you hit them. Well, okay, but it wasn't that hard. And so it's like, do you not understand that when you hit this child, it does hurt? And they really don't have an understanding for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so glad you bring up this topic of empathy, because it is so important in helping children understand the impact, even adults, that we understand the impact that our words, our actions, the level of acceptance that we demonstrate to people, that can have long-lasting lifetime impacts on people, positive and negative. And so when it comes in that bullying format, you know, I've talked to people who are in their 40s and 50s and are still reliving events that happened to them in elementary school because it never got resolved and it was so harmful for them.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever I do training, one of the exercises when I'm training adults, one of the first exercises we do is I ask people if you have ever been bullied, if you've ever bullied someone, or if you've ever seen someone bullied, to please stand up. Everybody stands up in the room. Mm-hmm. At most, one or two people are seated. That's all, because everybody has been affected by it.
Yeah.
Then I start, how long ago was it? And so far, the furthest back the answer was 53 years ago. And so my next question is, well, why do you think you remember it? And, you know, people talk mm-hmm. about how traumatic it was and all of that. And so I said, so then when we tell kids to get over it, you know, it's not that big a deal, we're really not telling them the truth, because clearly you haven't gotten over it. And people take that same bullying behavior into the workplace. It costs companies about $250 million a year because of bullying, and these are adults.
Wow.
It's a problem.
How do we teach empathy? One of the things I heard you saying earlier, Deborah, is that part of this comes by how we as adults show up in the world for children and how we interact with them, really role modeling. How else can we as adults teach empathy to children?
Well, careful with what we say. You know, we all kind of grow up. One of the things that I hear most commonly is, my mama said if somebody hits me, I get to hit them back. And I go, yes, I know your mother said that. However, it's because she doesn't know another way. So how about I teach you another way, and then you go home and teach your mom so that your family knows another way.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. How do we teach children respect? By being respectful. You know, we teach them, we work to teach them to do random acts of kindness. We reward you for being good. You know, let us catch you doing something extraordinary. We
yes.
reward that rather than coming back with the punishment, with, you know, because we're really good as adults of telling children what they should not do, and we're real slow to tell them what they should do. So we spend
mm-hmm.
a lot of time trying to teach children and trying to model for them things that they might do that are positive and beneficial.
Yes. I love that concept of role modeling and just teaching them through actions. And I had the wonderful experience. It was about 7 years ago I was participating in a community expo, and it was one of these events that you may have been to these, Deborah, that start out as a half-day event, and it just grows legs. And it was a four-day event, and the kids were really involved in the planning. And one of my roles at the event was to have a random act of kindness booth. So I worked with local suppliers to bring in hundreds of roses and stickers and all kinds of cards, all kinds of things that people could do in a few minutes as a random act of kindness. And we had a team of kindness champions that were all young people from elementary to high school. And they just spent their time at the event doing random acts of kindness. And partway through the event, we ran out of things. And the kids were just so upset. They came up to me, "Charmaine, we have no things left." So then, of course, it challenged them to do random acts of kindness that didn't have something else attached to it. And it was amazing. And we had these little kindness cards. 5 years after the event, I was stuck in a parking lot, and someone came to help me, and he gave me the kindness card that we handed out to students 5 years earlier. So this had gone through, you know, how many people. And what stood out for me is that how kindness kind of creates a positive contagion, that it just inspires
absolutely.
Other people.
Absolutely. And what I find even more beneficial and interesting is that the children can then model that for adults. Because we as adults, although we're not, hopefully not usually bullying people, we forget to be kind also. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
we model a lot of bad behavior for our children and then wonder why they do it. But
yeah.
when children are practicing random acts of kindness, it spreads to the adults because they are touched by a young person deciding that I'm just going to do something kind for you because I can.
Yes. What about responsibility? Where does that play into the whole helping children deal with bullying, helping children develop empathy? What role does responsibility play in taking responsibility?
Well, in our programs, we take a four-pronged approach to bullying. We inform, educate, support, and hold accountable. So informing is where we have discussions, encourage people to have discussions about bullying and its existence. In the education piece, we're telling children and adults and anyone who will listen how bullying affects the individual, how it affects the community as a whole, how it is affecting all that we're doing, and we want to, you know, what the consequences of it are and why we want to stop it.
Yeah.
The support piece is teaching them alternatives, giving them places to report bullying safely, giving parents information and places to go if they need assistance, all of that, and then finally holding people accountable. You are held accountable for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been taught, and, you know, my standard line is, you know, three strikes, everybody's out. The first time you're accused of bullying, we have a nice conversation, and we explain how, you know, this was interpreted as bullying. Maybe you didn't mean it, but, you know, this is what
mm-hmm.
it looks like. This isn't what we want to happen. The second time, then we're having a conversation about what the consequences are going to be. You're not going to sit here and do this at this particular school. Now, if that's how you want to behave, we can help you find another school to go to, because at this school, we don't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we follow through. It's like, okay, so clearly you don't appreciate this particular school and you have a right to an education, but it's a privilege to go to this school, so let's find you another location where maybe it's tolerated better there, or maybe it'll give you a fresh start somewhere else, but you can't do it here. When I know that we are successful is when I hear a young person say to another person, "Oh, you can't do that at the school. We don't tolerate that."
Oh, that's great,
yes.
isn't it? I mean, that just shows your four-prong model has just been so powerful. And it's amazing to see what can happen when children start modeling those values amongst themselves and being a, you know, standing up and speaking out instead of being a bystander. We're talking to Deborah Thorne today, folks. I just want to give out the website before we continue on. The website is WeDon'tTolerateBullying.com. Deborah Thorne is an expert in the area of bullying, anger management, and does presentations from schools right up to corporations. And she's really on a mission here, folks, about helping children learn better ways to communicate. And, of course, in doing so, she's helping all of us adults learn that as well. So, Deborah, what else do you think is critical for us in today's age to make a difference in reducing bullying and increasing empathy and respect?
Well, the main thing is, and this is what we work with the young people on, it takes three things to have a bullying situation. If you remove any one, bullying stops immediately, and we call it the bullying triangle. So you have to have a bully, mm-hmm. you have to have a victim, and you have to have a community that tolerates it. And what we teach young people is don't tolerate it. See, mm-hmm. the bully has some issues that they have to work out. I consider to be a bully to be a child who hasn't found an appropriate way to get their needs met. So we work with that child trying to give them vocabulary for when you're upset, learning the symptoms of when I'm upset, how to get control of your own mm-hmm. emotions and physicality. The victim is a similar child who has not figured out how to get their needs met as well because, you know, they will say, oh, just tell him to stand up to the bully. And I always say, you know what, if this kid was capable of doing that, they would have done it already. Mm-hmm. So let's give them some skills. Let's help them understand that they don't have to live like this, that there are people here to help. But the part that we work strongly with is the community. As a community, we don't tolerate this. Let's talk about what it does to our community when we do, whether this is the community of school or the community of church or the community of your youth group, because what I need people, and I tell parents all the time, bullying does not stop when the bell rings.
Right, yes.
Children take that behavior wherever they go, be it at home over siblings or to your Sunday school class or your youth group, your Boys and Girls Club, Scouts. That same behavior goes with these children. So if we teach them how bullying affects the community and we get them to a place, and like I said, when I know we have been successful is when I hear a child say, oh, we don't tolerate that here. Yes, because those are the words we listen for.
Absolutely. Well, Deborah, I got to say, I just love what you're doing to make a difference in the world. You also have a book. Tell our listeners about your book. And then I'd also like you to share where people can contact you about speaking in their organization, school, or business.
Okay. The book that we're talking about today is called Bullying, We Don't Tolerate Bullying. There is something parents can do. And the reason we wrote that book is that parents often say, I don't know what to do. Okay, well, we explain to you exactly what to do. And when we get to that hold accountable piece of the four prongs, we're mm-hmm. holding schools accountable, parents accountable, students. Everybody is being held accountable. So, you know, we try to remove the excuse, I don't know what to do. That's what our book is about. So there is definitely something parents can do. And I love the opportunity to give this information out. So parents, schools, organizations, the easiest way to contact me is to get me at WeDon'tTolerateBullying.com or itskidsfirst@gmail.com, which is a website that that is our parent company. So it's ITS Kids, KIDS, first. FIRST@gmail.com. And just as an aside, we believe that if all adults would take the time to put kids first, many of the problems that we see with children with bullying and other aggressive behaviors would be severely diminished.
What a great statement to pull this all together. Let's put our kids first. And Deborah, I really want to thank you for the work you're doing to make the world a safer place, a kinder place. Can't wait to read your book and share that with parents and schools that that I know. And I'd love to have you on the show again.
Oh, I'd love the opportunity. Absolutely. And thank you so very much for giving me the platform to share what I so strongly believe in. There is something we can all do. We don't have to stand by and watch our children destroy themselves.
Well said, well said. This was Deborah Thorne, and the website again, folks, is WeDon'tTolerateBullying.com.
What a great conversation with Deborah, and I really appreciated her comments about the importance of us stepping into action and making a difference together. We've had so much fun with our dog, Toby, making a difference together. Who knew this adopted rescue dog that we brought into our life to make our family complete? Who knew that he would become this incredible teacher for children about what empathy looks like, what it means to be gentle towards one another, not only in terms of how we are physically with one another, but of course the words that we use with one another. And we were recently at an incredible event with Toby, Pink Shirt Day, which is a bully prevention day, 800 kids in this hockey stadium, and all in pink shirts, of course. And Toby was just a rock star. What was so interesting, though, was after Toby and I had done the presentation and Toby went around and greeted people and just connected with them, my husband actually received a few comments from people that he was quite intrigued by. And one of the comments was an individual had said, how interesting it was to see myself, Toby, and Christopher on the stage together role modeling what healthy communication and a healthy relationship looks like. And kind of the light bulb went off for me because, you know, that was an unintended outcome. Chris and I do this work together, and Chris is Toby's handler, and, of course, I'm the professional speaker. And never had we really thought about that this was an opportunity to model to students what a healthy, respectful, and kind relationship actually looks like. We're going to keep that in mind next time we're on the stage and working with Toby and providing presentations. You know, it's amazing what animals teach people. Not only do they teach about kindness and empathy, they teach us about patience. We've been teaching Toby to potograph, that's right, potograph books. And I'll tell you, it is such a fantastic learning experience for me. I'm not a dog trainer, so for all of the dog trainers listening, you're probably nodding your head and you get what I'm going to say already. But one of the things that I learned is that when I was communicating to Toby, I was using different commands each time. So sometimes I would tell Toby to tap the stamp and then give me your paw, and I kept giving him these messages. No wonder the dog was confused. And Chris is having huge success with getting Toby to potograph, and of course because he's communicating the same message over and over and over again. Now, when we think about communication in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, what message are we communicating over and over and over again? And when we've gone into the schools and presentations on the work we do around teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect, in fact, our program is called BARC, which stands for Be, Accepting, Respectful, and Kind. We're really careful of the words that we use over and over again. And one of the things that we really want children and adults to take away is that we can really change people's lives just by the nature of the words that we use. We can impact them positively or negatively. And we talk to students about words that help and words that hurt. And it really got us thinking, just as Toby and Chris were doing this training on how to have Toby potograph books, and Chris is repeating the same consistent message over and over again, it got me thinking about what are those consistent messages that we are saying over and over again in our workplace, in our families, and in our personal relationships. Are they messages that help? Are they messages that hurt? So once again, Toby becomes an incredible teacher for us about many things, including kindness. We're just so jazzed because in 2 months, May 2014, we set out for our incredible launch, which is Pause Across Canada. We're going to be touring Alberta and British Columbia, Canada, 42 days, more than 40 community and city town stops. We'll be doing presentations in the school, all the while talking about kindness, acceptance, and respect. It's a dog-friendly travel, so we're also going to be participating in a number of tourists and adventures with our dog, Toby. We're going to be filming it, and so is he. He's got a GoPro camera, and we are getting a glimpse of the life as Toby sees it. And if you want to see something really interesting, pop on over to YouTube and punch in Team Toby, T-E-A-M-T-O-B-Y TV. Team Toby TV, that's his YouTube channel. Look up Pink Shirt Day and watch that video. And it shows the perspective that Toby had at his recent speaking engagement. Well, his recent barking engagement. I spoke, he barked. And then, of course, you can watch the video, Pause Across Canada. It's 3 minutes, and it captures all the highlights of what we're going to be up to. For all our Canadian friends, I hope that we will see you on one of our city tour stops. If you'd like Toby and I to come and visit your workplace or your school or community, please pop on over to the website, theoriginalteamtoby.com. Send us an email or connect with us on Facebook. Share your comments and send us an invitation to come and speak and bark at your school. We would be delighted to be able to join you. And the Facebook page is The Original Team Toby on Facebook. Until next week, let's be kind to one another.